Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The Lutheran Reformation can be understood in many, many, many different ways. If you're a political scientist, you might recognize how the Reformation affected power and politics and authorities because it was all influenced by what happened. If you're a historian, you might recognize how the German language was so splintered and spread out and it didn't really quite agree as well until Luther's German Bible that then unified the German language in a big way. If you're a Christian, you might recognize it in a different way too. Maybe you rejoice because now the gospel is no longer held captive. We hear Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his resurrection, proclaimed freely for the forgiveness of our sins. Something to rejoice in indeed. Or maybe, if you're a Christian, you also lament. You mourn the fact that the Reformation has splintered the church into a million tiny pieces. After all, there were really only two churches at the time of the Reformation. However you understand the Reformation, the reality is that it had a profound impact on how the world operates. Even today, there are still echoes of the Reformation that influence us, and we don't even realize it. And who's often depicted leading the charge of this Reformation? Martin Luther. Right? From October 31st, 1517, when he nailed those 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, up until February 18th of 1546, when Luther died, he proclaimed the truth. He confessed the truth. He defended the truth. He loved the truth, and we get to benefit from it. And the same truth that Luther confessed leads us to one important conclusion today on Reformation Sunday. Luther is not a hero. The truth beckons us to believe that Luther is not a hero. If you want to confess the truth, you have to recognize that Luther himself was a fallible, sinful human being just like everybody else. Now, certainly he had some laudable characteristics. And certainly he was God's instrument to lead the Reformation, at least from there has to be a human figure to do that. But he fulfilled God's purpose. Not Luther's purpose, God's purpose. He is a messenger. That's what Luther was. Now, as Lutheran Christians, the spirit of the Reformation lives on with us. But it's not because of Luther. It's because God was leading the charge through the Reformation. It's because God was the one who was behind the scenes orchestrating all of it, maybe just unseen. And God is still the one who wants us to understand the spirit of the Reformation. It can be summed up in three little phrases. Sola gratia, sola fide, sola scriptura. If you don't know Latin, it means grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. That's what the Reformation's about. And quite honestly, that's what Jesus is about. We just heard those words, maybe in a little bit of a different way, but in our gospel text, Jesus said this: "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's all right there. Grace alone, faith alone, word alone. Grace means that you are freed. It means that you are set free. It means you are justified. It means you are declared innocent, forgiven of all of your sins, not because you've been great, but because Jesus loves you, because he has gone to the cross and died for you, because he has shed his precious blood for you, because he has come back to life 3 days later. You have this promise of salvation because of Jesus. The truth that sets you free is Jesus. In fact, Jesus himself says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." But what do? Well, so contrary to Scripture, our tendency is to believe what is false. Right? We don't want to believe that we live by grace alone, that our salvation comes from grace alone. Instead, we like to think that we get to enter heaven on our own. Right? That as long as I live life as a good person, well, I get to go to heaven. And all those bad people, well, they can all, you know, go to the other place. But if it's by grace alone, then it has nothing to do with how good or bad you are. Zero. We like to think that we can conquer our own sin. Right? That if I just conquer this one sin I've been struggling with, then I'll be a good Christian. Then I'll be worthy of this eternal life. Then I'll finally have arrived where God wants me to arrive. And that's not grace alone. Grace alone is recognizing that even in spite of your sin, God loved you enough to send his son. Even when you didn't deserve it, even the days that you're an awful Christian and you don't live or act or speak like you should, that God loves you anyway. That's grace alone. Or for whatever reason, we think that we have to make a commitment or we have to choose God in some way. And that's not grace alone either. In matters of spiritual matters, you have no free will whatsoever. Zero. Goose egg. You choose evil every time when it comes to spiritual things. In fact, Jesus says this too. And later he says, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. You are literally enslaved to this. You are held captive by your sin, which means that your heart, when given the choice, will choose evil every single time. It is only by God's grace that he sends you his Holy Spirit that then empowers you to live the Christian life you know you're supposed to live. It is only by God's grace that he sends you the Holy Spirit that allows you to do anything good in this world. Grace alone sets you free. So let's look what Jesus doesn't say. Right? He doesn't say, go and set yourself free. Right? He doesn't say, take salvation for yourself. Because he knows that's impossible. If you're enslaved or if you're a prisoner, you can't just go up to the lock on your jail cell and go, oh, I'm just going to unlock this real quick and go as a free man. You need somebody to pardon you. You need somebody to come with a key to unlock your door and set you free. And Jesus is that person. He takes your place as a prisoner, and you get set free. He gets condemned with your sin, and you get declared innocent by grace alone. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So that's why we come here. We know this is the place of grace, where we're going to hear grace alone, where we're going to receive grace alone, and it's poured out in our ears through the Word. It's poured on our heads in baptism. God's grace is poured into our mouths as we receive the Lord's Supper. But grace is never alone, my friends. If you want to receive this grace, it means you also have to have faith. Faith alone. And yet even faith isn't our work. Faith also is God's work. As God continues to pour out his word, he uses that word to create faith in your heart. He uses that word to sustain your faith, to make sure that your faith endures, to keep you steadfast in the faith. We need him to do it. We need him to send us this. That way our faith can last not only now, not only for today, but into all eternity. But with faith, it's hard. Because faith means we don't get to see anything concrete. Faith means we just simply have to believe. That's hard to do. We live in a world of uncertainty, don't we? I mean, there are multiple different religions to choose from. There are multiple different denominations to choose from. And it's hard. Who is preaching the truth and who is preaching falsehood? And in fact, the people of Luther's day had to do the same thing. Do I listen to the preaching of the reformers or do I listen to the preaching of the Pope? What's it going to be? It's a hard situation. As we're surrounded by pluralism, it would be kind of naive for us to say that we're not affected by it. We see religion and Christian denominational pluralism. It's in the media, it's in the news, it's in movies, it's in music, it's at schools, it's in the workplace, it's everywhere we go, everywhere we look. There is somebody who's telling us something different. And how do you reconcile all these contrary opinions? How do you fit them all together? How does this work? Where do we turn to know the truth? That's what faith is. It's knowing the truth. It's staying grounded in the truth. It's enduring in the truth. And Jesus tells us, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. Faith believes what God says simply because he's the one who said it. True faith is confidence. True faith is knowing. It believes that God would never tell us a lie. And even if we can't understand it, we still believe it anyway. So be confident in your faith. Be confident in God's grace. Be confident in Scripture alone. You see how these three things intertwine, right? Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. They all go hand in hand. Because what is written down for you in Holy Scripture? It's God's message of salvation. It's God's message of grace. It's God's message of faith. It's everything he wants you to know about who he is, and more importantly, who he is toward you. He is a gracious God. He's a God who loves us. But we don't know any of it without Scripture. And so we use Scripture as the sole rule and norm for our faith, for everything that we believe. And so how do you judge your preacher? I mean, I stand up here week in and week out. Do you weigh my words? Do you judge them? Because the truth is that we're supposed to judge the preacher's words by the Bible. How do we know that the catechism, which we confess every week, is the truth? We judge the words of the catechism by the Bible. How do we know whether Martin Luther and his reformers are right, or if we should listen to the Pope? By the Bible. Scripture alone is the only rule and norm for our faith. If the Scriptures say it, we ought to believe it. We ought to teach it. We ought to confess it. We ought to live our lives by it. Because God's written it down for you. He's written it down for your benefit, for your good, because he wants you to believe it. We all know how the story culminates. It's Jesus. It's what he has done. It's his precious bloodshed. It's his death on the cross. And it's his coming back to life 3 days later. In fact, these words that Jesus said, they come straight from the Bible. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you want the truth? If you want the truth, read your Bible. If you want the truth, faithfully attend a church where the Bible is preached and taught. If you want the truth, go to Bible class. Go to Bible class. If you want the truth, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Scriptures every opportunity, every day. Because Jesus promises us, this is how you will be a true disciple. This is how you will abide. This is how you will hold on to the true faith. This is how you will receive the genuine freedom that Jesus Christ gives to you. That's what he's promised. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. My friends, today we celebrate the 502nd anniversary of the nailing of the 95 Theses. But Lutheran Christians do not live for Luther. And, okay, Luther can be a hero. But not more of a hero than the Spirit of God. Not more of a hero than the Spirit of the Reformation. For God's grace has been poured out to you. He has given you your faith, and he's given you the word that will sustain you from now until life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.